This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and here on KYKN, we have the pleasure of hearing Bill O'Reilly every weekday at 1 o'clock, shortly after this show, and his thoughts and news of the world and something we may not know. And today, we have the good fortune of having him on the phone with us so we can talk about his new book. I've got a couple of copies of this book, actually, headed for my house already, The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me in. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
So this is where you're getting inside the president's head, basically, and try to explain to people that really don't get it and may never get it how Trump sees America and why America voted for him.
Yeah, I mean, I decided to write the book. Usually we put out a killing book every September, and we have 8 of them out, 17 million copies in print. And so I have another one written, and but in January, the publisher came to me and said, look, you've known Donald Trump for 30 years. Do you think you could write up a book on him that would explain who he is and how he accomplished the most audacious political feat in the history of the country? And I said, yeah, I can do it. I said, I don't know how much cooperation he's going to give me because he's not really a look-back kind of guy, but I'll give it a shot. So we did. We wrote the book, and all facts, no anonymous sources, no cheap shots, no kissing his butt. I mean, it's straight down the line. And if people in Oregon want to know who the president of the United States really is and why he does what he does, this, the United States of Trump will, I think, really benefit you.
So you would describe yourself, and actually the book, is it's not pro-Trump, it's not anti-Trump, it's just telling it how it is.
Yes, I don't like the current climate of either hating him or loving him. I don't think it's healthy for the nation. I think you need to step back. My job is to watch all people in power so that they don't do anything heinous to the folks. I've been very successful in doing that for 40 years. But now we have this kind of civil war in a country, and it's not healthy. So the facts are really strong things, and I provide, I think, a lot of facts in this book, Dave, that are going to be surprising to people. You're going to learn a lot.
One of the things you say in your book, which I think is key, is that we need to absorb, if we really want to understand Donald Trump, that he's a disruptor, that he uses and embraces mayhem as a vehicle to getting what he wants.
Donald Trump is a guy who lives his life from transaction to transaction. There's one other president like that, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he's obsessed with winning. Donald Trump has to win. And if he doesn't win, he gets very emotional. And if you attack him, he'll attack you back, because part of winning is destroying his opposition. So is that a good thing for a president of the United States? Not necessarily. It can be good if the victories that he mounts are beneficial to the American people, but it can be bad because he gets obsessed with things that are foolish, in my opinion. And I give you a lot of examples of how this has come about. And I don't think people, when they voted for or against him in 2016, really understood him at all. This time around, if you read the book, I think more people getting him a little bit. He is a disruptor, but he's also an avenger. And if you watch the Dallas pep rally last night, that's what these rallies are. They're pep rallies. I mean, he's just basically saying to voters, look, the other party, I mean, these people are going to hurt you, and these people, they don't like the country, and you got to vote for me even if you don't like me, because they're bad, and the swamp is bad, and I'm going to continue to take care of them. And that's his appeal for many Americans.
So in the disruptor, in his style, let's say I support that more of NATO countries should devote more of their own dollars to their support, to their protection, right? Perfectly rational statement, but then people got jumped all over him because he made them mad. He disrupted them, and he made our European allies mad because he was reaching into their pocketbooks. But that's just his negotiation style?
Well, he firmly believes, and he said it again last night for, I think, the 4 millionth time, that other presidents have sold out the country. And I know, personally, he thinks Barack Obama did that. And I have in the book how he frames it. So he believes that the United States is now paying billions and billions of dollars to countries who could pay their own way. And we do that to keep everybody happy. Well, he doesn't want to keep anybody happy. So he's saying no. And that's what the China thing's all about. He says either you give us a fair trade deal or we're going to have tariffs and a trade war, which is what we have. Now, I think there's got to be a little bend sometimes. Negotiations have to benefit both parties. I think he does that, but he frames it so much that, well, these people are hosing us, they're not our friends, that he alienates way too many people, in my opinion. He could accomplish what he's accomplished, not quite as volcanic as he is.
I've long thought, and you talk about in your book, the whole deplorables comment, and I think a lot of Americans didn't like being told that they're xenophobic racists if they want America's president to take America's interests first. How significant is that deplorables comment?
Well, it ruined Hillary Clinton. It certainly ruined her. I mean, she might have won if not for that, because there were independent voters that were looking at her, but then they said, you know what, this is ridiculous. For some reason, and I really don't know what it is, Dave, the Democratic Party has lost its way. And they fall back on racist, homophobic, misogynist, white supremacy, white privilege. They do all this stuff, and I'm not really sure why. I mean, do you really think it's persuading anybody? They call them names, and I mean vile names. And I go through the racist stuff with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's not a racist. He doesn't care. I bring you way back to his childhood and his father and their discussions about race in the 1960s when it was really a hot issue. Donald Trump wants to succeed as president. Part of that is elevating the economic circumstance of black people, of minorities. And he cites it time and time again. So he's a racist? So a racist would not want minorities to benefit. He does. Now, is he doing it for noble reasons? Well, he's doing it because he wants to succeed as president. But he's doing it. He's providing a stronger economy for all Americans. So to sit down and say he's a racist and he's this and he's that, and I go over to the Charlottesville thing, I go over the Mexican thing in minute detail, and I think that's what people will take away. I mean, we did really, really solid research in the United States of Trump.
So we're talking to Bill O'Reilly here on Newsmakers, The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America is his book. It's out now. It's available now. It'd be a great Christmas present. I know I've bought two already because there are people in my family who are going to eat this up. Really appreciate you bringing the perspective because, frankly, it's befuddling. The people I see in social media, it's completely beyond them to try to understand how someone could vote for a person that they think is not a good person. 63 million people,
question,
though.
Dave.
63 million people did, though.
Very interesting. Well, no, a lot of them feel he's a good person. And I know him. I wouldn't associate with him if I didn't think he was a good person. I mean, I go to games, or I have, and now he's president. It's a whole different deal. But I'm still, when he sees me, we're still acquaintances. I mean, it depends on your judgment of a human being. So Donald Trump's for Donald Trump. Everybody knows that. His kids know it. His wife knows it. Everybody knows it. They accept it because he also is very generous, and he also is kind. I mean, I've seen it. He can be very kind, but he's a human being. So I don't fault people who don't like him. I don't do that. I'm not in the business of defending Donald Trump, the person. He doesn't. He's not a phony. What you see is pretty much what he is. He lives his life in a way that it is all about him. But by extension, he wants to improve the country because he's in charge of the country. You see, it's complicated. So you could have the nicest person in the world, and I thought Barack Obama was a good person. I had a good relationship with him. And every time I saw him and Mrs. Obama, they conducted themselves in an exemplary way, in my opinion. But I don't think he ran the country well. And I don't think he had a grasp of the system here and what it takes to provide prosperity for 330 million people. That's just my opinion. So you could have the nicest person in the world be president, and you vote for them because they're nice, but they wrecked the country. Not that Barack wrecked. He didn't wreck the country. But he certainly brought us into situations like Iraq, where he pulled everybody out, so ISIS rose up and became an unbelievable problem. He did things like that, but he's not a bad person. So, you know, I think you got to vote for the most effective leader rather than George Patton. I wrote a book, Killing Patton. Not the nicest guy in the world, Dave, but you needed him to beat Hitler. So that's a good analogy.
Thank you, Bill. One more question to try to squeeze in. Do you think that Trump has finally broken a barrier too far with the Ukraine, or is this just another distraction and another maneuver?
It's bull. It's total bull. And, you know, Trump believes, and I know this to be a fact, that he's going to win re-election because of the impeachment. He believes that, like the Mueller report, at the end of it, it's not going to have any substance, and people are going to go, you know, it's not fair. It's not right. And he believes that this impeachment thing is going to benefit him greatly.
All right, Bill O'Reilly, thank you for being with us. We surely enjoy having you on KYKN 1430 here. We appreciate you being with us, and I encourage everybody to go out and get your copy of The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America, by Bill O'Reilly.
No, thanks, Dave. I want to say hello to all my friends in Oregon. I lived in Portland, as you know, and it's a beautiful place. Anytime you need me, give me a call.
Will do. Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate okay, bye.
Bye-bye. That was Bill O'Reilly. We'll be right back if we take a quick break on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And there he is. There's the real Dave. Thank you for joining us, folks. If you're here for the first segment,
is
we're talking...
Is that like the real Don Steele? Is that what...
Talking to Bill O'Reilly, who had Dave's name there. So I was going to correct him during the interview.
That's because I'm more important.
Welcome. That's right. Dave runs this joint, folks. I am just Brent DeHart.
He's just the talent.
I'm just the drop-in host. Anyway, that was fascinating. I think his take is interesting. I think President Trump is fascinating on a historical level. And
yeah.
So all this vitriol and conversation and discussion and going back and forth about this person and what he does and what his presidency is going to be like will be interesting to read in our grandchildren's history books. In the meantime, you have Bill O'Reilly's book to read and get his insight, having known the man for decades. All right, moving on, though. We have a guest back in studio here today. Welcome back. I mean, after a quick first segment interviewing Bill O'Reilly, it's nice to get back to local stuff because we don't usually talk about Trump. We don't usually talk about national stuff here on Newsmakers.
It's we just do it local stuff. We do it between the breaks.
That's right. But joining us, Sheriff Mark Garten from Polk County. We've had him in before when they were pressing for their public safety bond, which was wildly successful. And now back in studio, Sheriff Mark. From Polk County, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
So you're rolling out something new in the county.
We are.
This is important. This is really cool. This is one of the cooler things that comes with technology, right?
Right.
There's so many things where technology is supposed to be our friend, and then it destroys our lives. But all right.
Yes.
tell us how technology is intersecting with Polk County now.
So we have a new software called Civic Ready. Civic Ready. And what it does is it's a free mass notification system. So it'll send alerts by text, voicemail, by email, by geographical area, all these other pretty cool things that we're able to do. And so, but it's a voluntary program, so folks have to go and actually sign up for it. So things that we might be able to send out messages are like road closures, emergency preparedness things, natural disasters, that kind of thing. And if people sign up for them, they can get that information right to their phone, right to their house. You might hear me on a recorded phone call that I can record and send them a message out. So
that's
so
pretty cool.
This is similar to technology that school districts might use as well.
It is.
Route school closures and what have
you. Yeah, like Everbridge is what City of Salem uses and some of Marion County. But this one is really countywide. So all of the police agencies, fire departments, not every fire department yet are on board, but all the police departments are, public health, are all on the same system, so it's a one-stop place to go for any alerts.
All right, so it could be anything from natural disaster like a flood, right?
Which
may have happened.
Yep.
Yeah. It may have happened just a few months ago, to maybe a high-speed chase.
Could.
Or maybe there's a perp, as Dave and I like to call them,
right.
Out and about.
That's what the sheriff calls them too, right?
That's right.
A person?
Yes.
A perp.
A person.
No, you call them a perp. I know
suspect.
You do.
A suspect.
Yeah. Alleged suspect.
Until they tackle him to the ground
right.
And put cuffs on him. Then he's a suspect. Then he's a suspect in custody.
Right.
So, but a situation that might affect our traffic patterns, right?
Yeah, very much so.
And public safety, of course.
Yes.
The health and safety and such. Things that might affect whether or not we're sending our kids to school that day.
Yeah, I mean, road closures,
fires,
flooding, weather storms, any kind of event like that. It could be really anything that we make it to be. And so when people sign up, though, they can actually go in and sign up to a group that they want. So if they don't want to see road closures, they don't have to sign up for the road closure group. They can sign up for all of them, or they can just sign up for the natural disaster group. And
okay.
So it's tailored to that specific person.
All right. Where do we go to sign up?
Youralerts.org.
Youralerts.org.
That's pretty easy.
Y-O-U-R.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your alerts. I don't know. Am I the only other person that drives me crazy when people misspell your and you are contraction or there?
So it'd be your.
Yeah, your.
Y-O-U-R.
Alerts.com. Mm-hmm. All right. So they can sign up. Is this a large organization where you have to select Polk County? Is that Polk County's site?
No, that is everyone's site. So you go one place for any signups that you want to do for whatever agency. And you don't have to live or work in Polk County. It really can be anybody that has some kind of connection here. There is one caveat, though. If you sign up and you don't provide your address, it's voluntary. You won't be subject to if we do a geographical alert. So we won't know where you live. Obviously, if you just put your name and phone number in, but you'll get the other alerts. So it's not a required field, but it's something that would be nice if you're looking to get alerts based on where you live.
I thought that Big Brother knew where everybody lived. We know.
This information won't be sold. You won't get credit card offers and Hilton rewards over
or
the
warranty for my car.
Yeah.
You can share it to Facebook so the Facebook can sell it to 100 million other places.
Yeah, right.
All right, it's called Civic Ready. It's an alarm for us to get a text. I want a text on my phone. That's what I want. I don't want a phone call because I may not pick it up, right? And you want an email because it might be one of those days, folks, those mental health days, you don't pick up any email. You should all have one.
Is that what you call it, a mental health day?
Yes, you should definitely turn the phone off one day a week at least.
That never happens for me.
All right, so Mark, is this being supported? How's this going to work in your department as far as efficiencies and who's paying for the service and all that stuff?
So before, a couple of the different agencies had a different system and we all had different ones. And we never actually had one to begin with. But so what we did is I approached this company to find out if we can partner all the agencies together under one umbrella. And so we did. And so the county is paying for it, but we're charging the respective entities based on population and some other things. So, and we actually saved money for one of the agencies that was already on Civic Ready. So it actually lowered their cost as
awesome.
Well. So it really is a collaborative effort between all the different fire department, law enforcement, and public health.
Wow, that was a great idea.
Polk County Sheriff Mark Garten is our guest here on KYKN talking about Civic Ready. And it's a notification application, basically, if you want to be notified of emergencies. I want to be notified if my neighbor's house is on fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, especially if they live close to the wooded areas of Polk County,
fire,
want to be a fire.
Sure.
You know? Of course, if one of my ways into Salem or Dallas or what have you is blocked, we want to know.
You mean your only way?
Yeah. There's always a way. You can always swim. I tried that.
Ferry.
Kayak.
That's terrific. So what I heard was you took initiative. You're like, oh, I'm going to check into this.
It happens sometimes.
And then you used collaboration, and then you created efficiencies in government expenses.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you got a ribbon, Dave? Let's put it on the sheriff right now.
We got to pin it on him right now.
Took a government initiative to make us all safer and provide more public information, and actually saved at least, you know, one of the entities in Polk County some money.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Pulled it up. So, quick quiz. What's the largest community in Polk County?
The largest community or city?
Well, that was a trick question. I picked that word on purpose.
Okay. The largest community would be the West Salem 97304.
Okay. And then
area.
City of Dallas.
And then the city of Dallas would be the second behind that.
What's the smallest?
This is Falls City.
Yeah.
For a city.
And Falls City has, it's in the news this week, they've got a ballot measure coming up in the November.
For the schools?
Yeah, for the schools and school
Does
activities.
Do they have a flashing stoplight or just a stop sign?
They have a right turn only when...
Ooh, that's a small town. Been there.
All right, Civic Ready again. Tell us again where we go to sign up, because I'm doing this.
Youralerts.org.
Youralerts.org. And I can pick what kind of alerts I want and how I get them and for which geographic area.
Yes, or all if you don't put in your address.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Youralerts doesn't just serve Polk County, so it could be areas, different areas of the country, right?
Correct. If you don't have an actual address in Polk County, you don't put your address in, but you won't get that one that when we draw on a map that we only want to notify like this specific area, and then you wouldn't get that because you don't have an address.
There's a lot of states with Polk counties, folks.
That's true.
There are a lot of states with Polk County. Iowa has a Polk County.
Florida.
So make sure
Florida,
make sure you don't.
I think Ohio.
Make sure it's Oregon that you pick and you don't click Dallas, Texas. All right. Sheriff Mark Garten, thanks for being here with us.
No problem.
Thanks for the program. It's very exciting. It's helpful. Again, we're talking about emergency preparedness a lot
lately.
Especially
as we enter, you know, the stormy season.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morin, and we'll be right back on KYKN Salem's Listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I have to say it. Woohoo! It's Friday! Okay. I feel much better. This segment of Newsmakers, proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and
you
joining us in studio.
You should have seen the look he was giving me.
Mark Garten, sheriff of Polk County. He came all the way across the one river crossing that we have, so we thought he would stick with him. We got other things to talk about.
It wasn't backed up too bad.
So. It wasn't. Not today.
Yeah, not today. Yeah,
not
but
this very hour.
Give it another, year.
Just try to get to PDX. A couple days ago, remember the accidents on I-5? It was just like grid-like. I want to know how many people, and you should, you know, email Dave if this happened to you.
Yeah,
how many
sure.
people missed their flights at PDX? How many people got caught in traffic and can't make the flight? And that's why Salem needs air service, so we don't have to leave the Mid-Valley to catch our...
Those
flights
back,
to vacation
those,
land.
Those back roads, by the way, were just brutal. I was telling the sheriff, it took me 10 minutes to get through one of the intersections, like at Brooks. That was ridiculous.
All right, the property tax bills, changing the subject completely.
Okay, sure.
We'll talk about air service another day
left
and the
turn.
Traffic and how the traffic affects our quality of life. The property tax bills are out in Marion County. Are they out in Polk County? Are people starting to get them in their mailbox and getting in their pleasant surprises?
They should be.
Yeah.
And I forgot to say something before. So in the tax bills, we have a little flyer about the Civic Ready program.
Awesome.
So everybody will get that too. So.
And we completely forgot to mention that the Civic Ready program is free. It's a free alert program for everyone in Polk County if they want to utilize that. So you're a beaver. So I need to We need to bemoan something. So the Beavers are playing the Golden Bears tomorrow, 11:30 kickoff, right? There's five Pac-12 games tomorrow. ESPN, in their infinite wisdom, on Thursday night, they could put a graphic on the screen that said notable games in the Pac-12. Notable Pac-12 games this weekend.
See where this
right?
one's going.
They listed every game in the Pac-12 except Cal versus Bears. Except Cal versus OSU.
What?
That's just rude.
Yeah.
They put notable. I mean, the screen had all this black space. They easily could have put a couple of logos up there. Mm-hmm. But they're like, somebody decided, you know what? Let's just take Cal and Oregon State off. And that way we can put the word notable on there. So, Sheriff... Sheriff's a Beaver, ticket holder. We should all be outraged that they just decided they're going to purposely on a national level just kind of slight us. You know,
we might win then.
Yeah,
since nobody's paying attention.
Well, one of our teams is going to win, and then maybe we'll be notable. But apparently, the ESPN, the Beavers, and the Bears are not notable. I'm incensed. I'm going to start an online petition.
Ask the Duckin.
All right, moving
I
right.
I don't care.
Moving right along, Sheriff. We're talking during the break, and we're talking to Polk County Sheriff Mark Garten. You have a program at the jail. That's it. Reminds me a little bit of some of these other programs, but I think that it's designed to get people back on the straight line and prevent recidivism.
That's the ultimate goal, right? So this is a grant-funded program that started about a year ago, and then. Essentially, those folks that might be sentenced to prison and not receive any treatment would actually be housed locally in our jails and receive treatment. And it's a mandated part of the treatment program. And so the treatment program is at least 6 months long and intensive. I mean, it's 40 hours a week with homework and all that thing. And they have to pass in order to be eligible for maybe early release. But they also have to be successful. And if they don't, then they go to prison.
Okay, so it's an option to stay in the county jail, mm-hmm. which is perhaps the conditions are a little bit less institutional than going to the state prison. How does that affect your capacity at the jail as far as, you know, number of people you're trying to house?
You know, we're able to do it right now. I mean, we're not having to force release anybody like some other jails around the area, but we're able to do it right now. You know, if the population continues to grow, that might be something we have to look at, but right now we're able to do it.
So you said this is a grant funded. So who's offering the grant? How'd you go to for the cash to fund it?
It's from the state. It's for justice reinvestment. Okay. If you've ever heard of that, that's a no. Okay. Yeah. So it's a justice reinvestment initiative. It's a state funded grant designed to basically reduce the number of prison beds used and push it back onto the counties. So they don't have to build a $1 billion prison.
So what kind of cases, what kind of crimes, what kind of, convicted criminals are going to be eligible for this program?
So there is a certain criteria based on the state legislature. They say that, you know, certain they're all property crimes. So you're not going to have somebody that's, you know, a sex crime or a person crime isn't going to be eligible for this. So thefts, maybe stolen vehicles, that kind of thing.
Substance crimes, you know, drug crimes?
Drug crimes too, because part of it is they get drug and alcohol and then mental health treatment too, all in the same program by the same provider.
Okay. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So they're doing mental health and drug and addiction counseling and alcohol addiction counseling. And they have to stay, but they're going to be in your jail for 6 months.
At least.
At least.
Yes, at least.
So if they complete the program, they have to graduate, right?
We just had our first one last week. So that's why two, they graduated the program.
Oh, awesome. And so the plan is to give them an education rather than slam them in a concrete cell.
Yes, where there's no motivation to do anything to better themselves.
A lot of people, I don't know how you feel, you're in public safety. A lot of people feel like the only thing they learn when they go to prison is how to be a criminal, that they get in an environment and in a culture, and they learn more and more about what they're going to do on the outside as they go back into the kinds of activities and the kinds of choices that they make to put them there.
Yeah, it's...
Does that happen?
It happens. And talking with the folks that graduated and the rest of the group last week, I was inspired by what they were actually saying. I mean, really, just the fact that their rationalization and realization of where they were to where they are and where they need to go, you normally don't get that.
And what's the support as they leave the program? Is there an ongoing support network for them?
Yes, there is, through, because they're still going to be on post-prison supervision or probation. So they're going to have that mental health, ongoing mental health, or drug, depending on what their issues are, they're going to have that treatment and also then their regular check-ins and stuff with their PO. That doesn't go away.
We're talking to Sheriff Mark Garten of Polk County. What is this program in the jail? What's it called again?
Jail treatment program.
Jail treatment program.
pretty simple.
You always leave it up to the government to have the most creative names.
JTP. We call JTP.
JTP. We can make it our own. Yeah. The first time I ever saw the letters HOV on painted on concrete, I'm like, I have no idea what this is. It was in Washington, D.C. And I was just guessing and guessing. I mean, who would have guessed high occupancy vehicle lane, HOV, later became more prevalent, but I was just like, did a military person do this?
Yes.
Acronyms of everything. All right. Jail treatment program designed to reduce recidivism, get people back into society, and hopefully so that they don't come back.
That's what I told him. I said, hopefully we never see you again. That's the goal.
Or I want to see you working in the community, right? Yeah. And I want to see you getting approved for apartment of your own and housing and continuing treatments and things like that. That is really cool. One last thing. Let's talk about, so we haven't seen you, I don't think, since the levy measure passed.
That was the last time I was here.
Huge. It passed enormously. Even I was surprised. And
what?
We've had some of the county.
We sold it.
I know. Yeah, we sold. We promoted it. So everybody, every one of our KYKN listeners in Polk County jumped on that. They only voted.
They voted yes.
But they forced their neighbor to vote yes, because it was like 75%, wasn't it? 80%?
It was above 70.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, it's called
days,
public safety. Now, hello. Who wouldn't vote for that?
It's called taxes, though. It's called taxes.
I'm sorry, but I would support that. I like public safety.
Right. There's certain things me, and I know it probably doesn't make me an anti-tax crusader, but certain things I'm willing to pay for.
Yes.
Right?
Public safety is number one.
Public safety and infrastructure. Schools, if they're fiscally responsible.
Right.
Things
see,
like that.
You have these ifs in there.
Caveats.
A lot. Caveats, yes.
I confess I did choke a little bit on the $630 million price tag of the Salem Kaiser Schools. It was, wow, 10 years ago it was $240. So now it's support. Oh boy! So,
yeah,
but
that is a
it
lot.
Passed. It passed. So I'm paying my taxes.
Okay.
I got my tax bills in the mail, folks. No big surprises. In case you haven't opened yours yet, mine was actually pretty level.
Mm.
And that happens because last year some of these bond measures had already hit our bills.
Yes.
Right. And so now that they're not increasing, and some debt's been paid off.
Right.
And that's one of those things. We're never longer paying X. You know. Bond measures from the past. So pretty level, no big surprises. I've saved enough money to pay my property taxes. I don't want the sheriff to have to come to my house and evict me for a failure to pay my property
tax. He wouldn't evict you. He would just go, hey, pay your bill.
Because you guys have to do that, right? It's one of the roles of a county sheriff that most people don't realize. They're the only ones that enforce eviction notices.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a weird one of those.
And you serve them too, right?
Yeah, we serve the whole process. And sometimes we even go like literally take people out of houses if it gets to that point. So,
wow, that's got to be a fun part of your job.
That is not a fun part of my job.
We need to pick you up and remove you and drop you on the street. Good luck.
Chain the locks and so you can't get out.
Wow, chain the locks.
Another one of those things of being a county sheriff. You also are the only organization that does prisoner transfers, right?
Besides state.
State police can do.
Well, Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you serve subpoena? Is it subpoenas?
Civil process. Yeah, we do all the civil process. So.
God, I hope to make money doing
divorce,
that.
Divorce papers?
Is that something we taxpayers all just,
No, we there are some charges. So.
Right. Yeah, you pay for that service.
Well, it's called Civic Ready, and it is free, folks. It's in Polk County. You can go to youralerts.com.
Yeah, please sign up.
Please sign up.
Isn't youralerts.org?
Oh, .org.
Youralerts.org. Dave Bourne pays attention.
I do. Listen to you.
I'm ready to go for the weekend.
I'm the only one that's doing that.
And you can sign up for alerts to get emergency alerts with traffic closures, with disasters, with those criminals out running around your community, all of those things. It's better than listening to the police scanner, I think. Right? You
maybe,
don't have to
maybe.
Do that. If you're out to dinner and there's somebody out there you need to look out for, you'll get an alert on your phone.
Right.
So youralerts.org, sign up and get Civic Ready in Polk County, and we'll all be a safer place.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, Sheriff. Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you. Keep up the good work in Polk County. And this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're going to be right back talking about an OMSI exhibit with local ties on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. What a great hour we're having for you. Thank you for joining us here.
It's kind of fun.
It is. It's a really fun Friday. It's not every day I get to talk to Bill O'Reilly.
That's true.
Right? And he's fascinating in the things that he has known and interviewed and seen and heard.
I kind of like the fact that he thought that you were me, but that's okay.
I just let him do that. I didn't just pump you up.
That's how much he likes me.
And, of course, having the county sheriff here is always fun. But now, joining us, we are going to talk about an exhibit at OMSI. Chris Marley, he's got an OMSI exhibit. He's here from here in town. Here is Salemite. Hey, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, great. We're doing fantastic. It's the end of the week, and taking a look at your exhibit in OMSI, gosh, it looks fascinating.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell us about
how did that come to pass?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long road. It's been about 20 years of this type of work that I do is a little bit unusual. I take exotic organisms from all over the world. It started with insects, and that's kind of about half of what I work with. And I preserve them and use them as a medium of a very kind of a clean, graphic, minimalist, industrial style artwork that that I think and I hope kind of helps people to see and appreciate these lesser known, lesser appreciated organisms in kind of a new way with fresh eyes.
Three-dimensional art.
It's
pretty much what you're doing, right?
Yes, exactly.
And how did you get this exhibit into OMSI?
Well, actually, this is the third. It's kind of in line with a bunch of other museums that I've been working with. It came from the Houston Museum of Natural Science and came... Let's see, that closed in September, and then we rushed it up to OMSI. And then the OMSI exhibit is just a huge space. It's 13,000 square feet. And so,
wow.
So we went from an 8,000 square foot footprint in Houston to 13 in OMSI and just kind of had to dig deep and design a bunch of new things and make it as beautiful as we could.
All right, I'm going to drive up the highway and go to OMSI, and we're going to see your exhibit. What do you want to make sure I have to see? Maybe 13,000 square feet, and I'm not there long enough. What drive
well,
me up there?
You know, I'm getting a lot of comments from people that they'll take their kids and they'll, you know, and their kids are, you know, going crazy through the exhibit. It's really an exciting exhibit, but in some ways it's a little bit different than a lot of OMSI exhibits. You know, Pixar just closed at OMSI. And that was a really, there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of lights, there's a lot of sounds, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stimulation. And my exhibit is meant to be almost reverent. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of a unique exhibit in that, you know, the parents have commented that they've gone through their kids love it, and then they'll, you know, take their kids home and schedule time to come back and just sit and really take it in. There's about 500 pieces in the exhibit.
Wow.
And there's some really inspiring films. There's some beautiful music. It's really a place to kind of sit and commune with the natural world. And I do a lot of writing. They've got, I don't know, dozens and dozens of huge 4-foot by 8-foot text panels that I've written and I've shot all the photography and it's really a place where you can kind of reconnect with the 3-dimensional natural world, get away from, you know, screens and your phones for a while and just really kind of have it's a pretty unique experience. I've been really excited about the response.
Sounds like I should plan to stay a while and have a snack.
Absolutely. Bring your sleeping bag. And
So the exhibit's called Exquisite Creatures, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Exquisite Creatures. And coming from the OMSI announcement, they describe it as an artistic experience that unravels humanity's intimate relationship with the natural world.
Right.
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're radio, and we can't show pictures of this, but on your website,
blow them away.
If you go to christianformarley.com, you can look at some samples of the artwork.
Right, yeah. If you go to OMSI, OMSI's got OMSI.edu has got a really good little teaser, you'll see a little bit of film about the exhibit. And, you know, it's interesting. In my opinion, we all have kind of a... different ways that we connect with the natural world. You know, there's people that are, you know, hikers and mountain bikers and, you know, hunters and fishermen and scuba dive. There's a million different ways that we connect. And in some ways that some people connect, others don't. And, you know, for me, for example, I spend a lot of time in the jungles and in really deep tropical places in different parts of the world. And some people will, you know, want to stop and bird watch, and I'm like, oh, this bores me to tears. Let's go find some insects.
Let's go look at some bugs.
So to me, one of the great advantages or one of the great messages in this exhibit is that when you find your place, you know, your way of interacting with nature, something really powerful, something really magical happens, and we're in danger of losing a lot of those connections because we spend all of our time in front of screens, and we cannot develop that relationship with nature when we're doing that.
This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to Chris Marley here, a Salemite who's got his own exhibit at OMSI. And here, kind of a bug guy. There's so many questions I have for you. Exquisite okay. Creatures is the name of the exhibit. The color, I mean, how do you end up a combination of I love these little bug things, but also have and also have the artistry. A lot of people that are into the science and the natural sciences aren't necessarily end up being painters and creators of art.
True.
So tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up collecting all of these samples.
Sure. You know, but first, honestly, the reverse is also true. There are so many people that don't consider themselves nature buffs and don't consider themselves a science, you know, fanatic, and so they feel like, you know, maybe this isn't for them. But this exhibit is meant to be, and my work is meant to be an entree to be able to kind of explore that space between art, nature, and science, and that there's a lot of magic that really happens in that space. But so I was in the fashion industry for about 15 years and lived and worked all over the world and was always a real nature fanatic and an artist from my earliest memories. And I started collecting insects from different countries from all over the world. It was kind of just a hobby. It's something that I did as a representation of my travels. And wanted to just put something together for myself when I was based in Los Angeles at the time, and my fiance at the time, wife now, convinced me that other people would be interested in the work that I was doing, and so we started kind of just traveling around and showing people and had a lot of interest, and it's been an interesting 20-year ride.
That is fantastic. You have been your work's been featured in publications like Smithsonian.com, Scientific American, Wired, Audubon, and your book, of course, I'm fascinated by the name. Your book's called Pheromone.
The first book was Pheromone. My most recent book is called Biophilia.
And what a great name.
The exhibit is actually normally entitled Biophilia. We changed it a little bit for OMSI. We just had some creative changes we wanted to make for OMSI.
Hey, Christopher, in the last 30 seconds here, tell us how long it's going to be at OMSI, and where can people get other information about you?
Sure. The exhibit will be up through February 17th at OMSI. We're opening one in Vancouver, B.C. right now, and you can go to OMSI.edu or ChristopherMarley.com and find out more.
All right.
Sounds fantastic, and a thing to do in the wintertime.
Absolutely.
Right? The sun's not out.
Take
you're not going to go skiing.
Take an afternoon and go.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. That's Chris Marley right here in Salem. Going to check out his OMSI exhibit.
Thanks again, buddy.
Exquisite Creatures. Thanks for joining us. Your Friday
Absolutely.
Is done, folks. For the Newsmakers, let's do it all again on Monday. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Morin on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Have a great weekend, and I'll see you on Monday.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.